Pulled pork.
Mm.
Okay, right, so let's get a move on.
Okay, yes.
Right. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, right, show starting in 3, 2, 1, and it's ticking away. Hello everyone, welcome back to the RMI Fusioncast, where we sit down and we talk about games. But we'll talk about games of a different context this week. I'm Tony.
And I'm Andrew.
Yay! I'm my ZX Beckstar and the Potty Boy. Yeah, I think we're going to be getting back into using our own usernames again at some point, aren't we, mate?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because it's better to use it that way. That's how YouTube defines you.
Yes. Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so we have no game talk this week. Well, I say we do in some sort of way, but we're going to talk about our trip down to the Play Expo, aren't we, mate?
Yes, we are, yes.
And the fun we had down there.
Oh, yes.
Very good. We'll get to the Play Expo in a moment, but first off, what have you been up to?
Well, as you and the others would know, I've actually built my own little gaming PC.
Hey!
Yes, yes, I've been enticed over. Yeah, because for those of you who are new to me, I'm the Mac user. So, yeah, in fact, I still use a Mac, and I'm using a Mac now. But now I built my own gaming PC. So I thought, you know what, why not? Yeah, it'd be a challenge. It'd be me learning something new. And of course, one thing I did, as much as I did like Macs, as a game, I kind of felt, you know, I got a bit fed up waiting about a year for the latest release to come out, sort of thing. Yeah, and so I thought, I'm going to build a PC. So I built myself one. It's got I've got Windows 7 up and running on it, and I'm just in the process of downloading some of the old Steam games. I think you guys helped me out a bit, though, didn't you? So
yeah, we gave you a list of things to get. And also, because a lot of your games were also dual-compatible, straight on your system.
Exactly, of course. I say straight in the system, they take ages to download, but...
but yeah. I blame your connection.
Yes. but that was the only real... That's the only real problem I've got at the moment, is trying to connect it to my Wi-Fi network. It's always connected. It's connected up to the network itself, it's fine. It's just every now and then it decides to not give me internet. But hopefully things... I've done something. I've unchecked an option in the from Windows, and hopefully, and I think there's something to do with power saving. I think it was I unchecked the box to not, yeah, so that Windows can't power it down, if you know what I mean. So
yeah.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, that's solved it. So yeah.
and you've did something else with your own wireless router software, basically told that to F off as well, so, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was minimising my gains. Stupid thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I found out what the problem is now. It's like, because when you start up, it comes up with TP-Link, blah, 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 and you can choose the modem. If what you do is you close it. You don't minimise it, and you don't leave it running at all. You close it, and that's what fixes it. Yes. So, fingers crossed, I shouldn't have any more problems with that. But apart from that, my system's running great. Graphics card is great. I think it's a Sapphire HD 7850. Which is basically a cheaper equivalent of AMD Radeon 7800 series card. So,
it does the job.
Yeah, exactly. I can run games like Deadpool full speed.
Oh, yes.
Full settings, yes.
Exactly. But, so, as soon as you finish Deadpool, me and you have got to review that. Exactly. We've got to talk about that.
Exactly. You have kind of done a video review on it, haven't you? But,
It's true, but I want to have a discussion on it as well. We'll get another person's input on it as well.
Exactly. So, and it'd be nice, because I'd like to be as well, so hopefully if I can get up to get sort of something like Bandicam or something like that, I'd love to record some footage.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a game that we should talk about as well, definitely, because it's actually not a bad game.
It's not bad at all.
Well, as for me, I kind of took advantage on Steam the other week when they were selling the Batman games cheap, so I was like, yes, we will have some of that. And I actually managed to get all the achievements on Pac-Man Championship Edition. Yay!
Oh, nice. Actually, talking of which, I used my AMD Silver ticket that I got with my graphics card. I bought two games for that. I had... I bought was it Deus Ex Human Revolution? Primary Course out today at the time. Primary Course out today. The time of this recording, so I think it's Friday. Director's Cut version is out, and apparently, if you got the original version of the game, you get 50% off. So nice. That's one of the problems. And the other one was Dirt 3, and that's actually another problem I've had. Recently is signing into games for Windows.
Yeah, they're kind of closing the service down, aren't they?
Yeah, you're a bit miffed
you can't play Street Fighter.
Well, I can play it, but I can't play my games alive or save any data. And unfortunately, the same is true for Dirt 3. But I didn't know because it didn't tell me. I only found out when I started running the game. But at least that one, I didn't pay for it.
True, but it's still time to get in contact with Microsoft. Oi, sort this out.
Exactly.
Right. One thing that turned up in the gaming news of lately, well, some time ago, but as we only do a podcast every now and then, we come through. Now, I remember back to some person putting a review saying I'm a bad example of gaming, or gamers, and then we saw what happened with GTA 5 and how the fanboys were absolutely mental because the fact that GTA 5 didn't get a complete 10 out of 10 by all the reviewers. And I'm like thinking, are you mental? What is wrong with 9 out of 10? 9 out of 10 is practically perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, it's like, they're calling me a bad gamer. I didn't go out screaming, threatening to kill someone, wanting someone sacked, and basically people sit there saying, oh, it's okay to have your opinion, but it's wrong.
Hmm.
Literally, someone just literally turned around saying, oh, that's a valid opinion. Stick it up your ass. My opinion's better than yours.
Exactly.
And as I said, I've never raged over the fact that a game has done this, or you look at the previous things that have been going on. You look over the Capcom's crappy DLC policies. You look at EA balls up with Mass Effect as well, and everyone was screaming and whining over that one. Apparently, they even went mental because Sonic Lost World's got a low review score as well. And it's just for me, it's like, people, please, get a grip.
Exactly. Yeah? Exactly.
Yeah, just because these guys say it's a bad game doesn't mean that you will find it a bad game, but you are not entitled to go around telling people that they're wrong.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, for example, I mean, we were just talking about Deadpool a minute ago. That to me... Yeah, to me, in a way, that is a slightly underrated game. But I'm not going around screaming my head off saying, oh, why didn't this game get brilliant reviews and stuff? I've just expressed my point there, haven't I?
Exactly. If you look at my review on site, I even expressed myself that the gameplay itself is nothing special. In fact, it's just pretty much run of the mill for an action game. But what saves it is the comedy aspect to it. It's bloody hilarious.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And that's the massive thing about it. So yeah. So this is a message to anybody who's listening to us who is a fanboy of games like GTA. Please get a grip. 9 out of 10. Practically perfect, yeah?
Exactly.
But there's one thing that I love, which it comes to the fact is, that review went up one day before the release date of the game. How do you know it's a 10 out of 10 game? How do you know that game's perfect when you've never played it?
Exactly.
I rest my case. All these GTA fanboys could have been sitting there chomping at the bit, and then they turn out and find that this game they've been waiting for is no better than any other GTA game. Exactly. So, people, please, you fanboys, get a grip.
Exactly.
Right.
To cut it all short, to all those fanboys out there, you must accept that 9 out of 10 is a bloody good score.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Not, 9 out of 10 is not the standard.
Hmm.
Yeah? Not if it goes to the point you're going to be sitting there, they'll be questioning why all games aren't getting 10s.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hmm. But anyway, let's not talk about fanboys too much. They go raging.
Exactly.
let's talk about Play Expo.
Yes.
Right, Manchester on a very... It wasn't exactly a cold morning, was it?
It's cloudy, but... I don't think we really knew what the weather was like because we were indoors, weren't we?
Yeah, that was actually true. But yeah. Me and Andrew were sitting there with our press passes, waiting to go in, and lots of shuffling going round, and nothing really going on.
Yeah.
in an aspect. We got in slightly late, so we didn't get our full chance to play about. But we'll go around how we walked around and basically what we saw. And we'll give our opinions on what was there. The first thing we went to as well was the Assassin's Creed 4
Black Flag, wasn't it? Demo. Yes.
Black Flag. So we were going there. We weren't allowed to take footage as per request of the reps that were there.
Exactly. Well, I was allowed to record footage of you playing the game, but I couldn't actually record the screen.
Yeah, that's true. But as all, we do oblige to requests for that one, as we're not going to break any rules or break any request rules because we want to stay on good terms. But all in all, we'll go over what we saw. It was on the PS4, and it was on... I don't think it was PS4s, but I think it was prototype PS4s it was on. Oh, but really? It definitely was PS4. The gamepad was the new PS4 joypad was really nice to hold.
Mm, yeah, oh yeah. So it was nice and curvy. It's got the same layout as the previous PlayStation pads, but it's got a few more curves to it.
Yes, yeah, it does feel a lot of, it's very, very easy in the hand, and like that, it just carries on the tradition of the standard PlayStation joypad. A few things moved about, but not so much to a degree where you'll be sitting there complaining.
Exactly, yeah, and you've got the nice little touchpad thing that's in the middle, haven't you?
Mm, exactly. But we'll move on now to Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah.
They're very, very pretty game.
Very, very pretty, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video of somebody who got invited up to play it on actually at the thing, and it looked really, really blurry, this video, and I'm like sitting there, like, there's no way it looked that bad, because we were playing it on at least 32-inch HD TVs.
Exactly, yes, and it was not really a nice, crisp, clear image, wasn't it?
It was. It really does show that the PS4 does have some good visuals under its hood. Even though it's on the PS4, it's still not quite up to the sort of standards which some PC games are going to be running in the future. But it's still nice to see that there is an advancement between the PS3 and the PS4.
Exactly, yes.
The actual main narrative has some ship combat going, and then an off-the-ship and wandering around exploration. They did do it at the start of the game, so it doesn't give anything away. But it gives a nice little gameplay for all aspects on it.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. So that was nice to play. We moved around, and then we went to... we didn't go on the Oculus Rift.
No, we didn't, did we? Did we? We didn't.
No, we didn't. But we met up with our site member, Kieran. He was also there, Mr. Prof Nova.
Yes.
He said it wasn't quite there, and it was actually giving him a headache as well.
It was a similar sort of thing to
3D glasses and the tech that's on the 3DS basically. But he got to go, so somewhat impressed, but still needs a little bit more to get there, if I remember rightly.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Which isn't a bad thing, if you ask me. So all I can really see, it's just virtual reality brought up to date using some more advanced graphics, that's all.
Yeah, that's what I think of it. So.
Yeah, that's that one. Moving around, there was a few little windy game projects that were there as well.
Yeah, they had Prison Architect.
Yep, Jenny, the Radiant Angel, she actually plays the alpha of that, if I remember rightly, and you got yourself a copy as well.
I haven't actually played that much, but... at the moment, it's very simplistic graphically, but it's overall, from what I have sort of played a bit, it looks pretty good. I mean, obviously it's still in I think it's still in alpha, isn't it? It's still in alpha. It's still got quite a bit of work to go, but for a But for a game that's like, you know, it's supposed to be like a sort of like prison tycoon sort of thing, you know, you go and build your manager down, you have to go and build up the cells and look after your prisoners and whatnot and hire guards and things. For a game like that, it was pretty dark and gruesome. I mean, the first thing you're doing is basically you're building up an execution chamber. Because the guy is going to be executed, he's accused of double murder, when he's been dragged from his cell to the chamber, the game actually explains to you how he committed the murder, and it's quite gruesome and violent. I've never seen a tycoon game do that. It's going to show you he killed up his wife and her wife's friends sort of thing, and it's like, yeah, it's quite bloody and violent, so I'd say. And then you actually see the execution happen.
To the equivalent of a little stick man.
But there are some nice
little
illustrations as well.
So all in all, it's a nice little management sim around there as well. Nintendo's was showing off Sonic Lost Worlds, Super Mario 3D Worlds, Pokemon X and Y, and the Zelda game. But we'd like to have got to that, but that queue was ram-packed all the time.
Exactly, it was really, oh my word. It's like you just couldn't get to it.
That was true. So, when I keep hearing people saying, "Oh, what's the Wii U got?" This one, nobody's interested in the Wii U anymore. Well, sorry, I'm afraid those queues at Play Expo beg to differ.
Exactly. Yeah,
they big time beg to differ with what these people are claiming. Trust me, there is more than enough interest in the Wii U. And how many people do we see walk around with 3DSs in their hands?
Quite a few, usually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I rest my case.
Remember Nintendo's aimed at a different market, the likes of like the Xbox and the PlayStation 4 and even the PC, because it's aimed at kids and families, isn't it?
And they're not in competition.
Exactly.
It's just not in competition. They were also showing Dark Souls 2 on the PS3 as well.
Yep.
That game is as hard as ever.
I've never played the original one, but obviously, you know, I can now, obviously, but Dark Souls 2 is kind of like, I didn't get to play it, but what I saw was quite impressive.
Yeah, it was very. I had lots of stressed people as well.
Yeah.
It's like my friend says, Dark Souls is the game that punches you in the face and expects you to apologise.
Exactly. Mind you, have you ever played Demon's Souls?
Well, that was the one before it.
Exactly, yeah. But it's the Dark Souls games are like the spiritual successor. I've got Demon's Souls, but I never got far in it. I think I just gave up on the first level.
Yeah, it's just way too hard.
Yeah.
So people were sitting there getting stressed out, and that pretty much covers the modern day gaming. I was very actually happy this year because the modern day gaming didn't overtake the retro style gaming side. It felt this year, because unfortunately you wasn't there last year, but for this year it felt like definitely the retro stuff is definitely the star of the show.
Exactly.
They had 16 Xboxes all signed up for a Halo deathmatch, which I thought was a nice little touch, and no Call of Duty players.
Exactly, yeah. I was quite chuffed at that, because I think was it last year? Apparently last year they had a lot of Call of Duty tournament and stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. The whole reason why they basically didn't have it this year was because just of the appalling way the Call of Duty players were acting last year, and basically grown people acting like immature idiots.
Exactly, and
they just basically turned around and said, no, not this year. We're not having that. And this is another thing which leads on to the fact of why the European game, we can't be taken seriously. Because in essence, it's just played by idiots. And that show proved it. To be fair, not all Call of Duty players are idiots. But I was there last year and I saw for myself how some of these people were acting. And the only things that come to my mind were, will you grow the fuck up?
Yeah.
Apparently they have one guy who literally jumped on a table and shouting at a person, look how much you suck. And I'm just like, And I'm just like thinking, it's like, that is no way to act.
Exactly.
And and I don't blame him for leaving on that one. On the EMT, on the last bit of kind of modern day stuff there, they actually had a Street Fighter 4 competition there as well, didn't they?
Oh yes, they did. Yeah, that was interesting to watch.
It was, because we were walking past several times during the matches, and there was a very high end gameplay going on, because the winner was playing for a place in the team that will be going to America to represent in the finals. So big prize at stake.
Of course, and another thing as well that I quite liked was the fact that they were allowed to bring in their own controllers.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
So you didn't have to use an Xbox 360 pad.
Yeah, that actually kind of made me laugh. It was when they were sitting there, I was going around and doing the announcement, they were actually saying, is there anybody here that wants to use the Xbox 360 pad? And the first thing that went through my mind was, no bloody chance. Anyone who was entering that tournament had their own joysticks.
Exactly. And,
that was a fact.
Yeah, and I think I know... And of course, I think you know what Mount would have said. He would have said no straight away.
Yeah, that was definitely. Mount would have took his own ones. I still reckon he should have entered, but he wasn't able to get there. We do have some footage on the website. If you pop down to www.rmifusion.com for one of the final matches, because it was towards the end of the day. Two guys going at it. I think it was a Seth versus. Ooh, what was the other character? I can't remember, but the guy was
Cammy or whatnot.
Cammy, yeah, Cammy. Hmm. And he was a very good Seth player, and you could see the competition, especially the part where the guy was on the way to the perfect, and you could hear the crowd going oh, but then as soon as the guy managed to get hit and break the perfect, and it was like oh, the crowd watching.
Hmm.
It was all good. So unfortunately, we never found out who did win that one, but. Whoever the lucky person was, I do wish you good luck, and hope you do as well in the supporting the UK.
Oh yes.
So good luck to you, mate.
Exactly.
Right. Moving round to, we'll go up to the cosplay section quickly on this one.
Hmm.
There were some actually very nice ones on there as well. I think the cosplay section was suffering from prop malfunction, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. Exactly, yeah. I mean, the amount of times it's funny, really. I mean, the amount of times it's like people get ready for an act and the act would come on, and then it's kind of like, oh, they played the wrong music or it's like things fell off and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a disaster. There was a few good costumes on there. I think you had a thing for the one from, I think it was the BlazBlue one, the cat girl and the. That nice young lady wearing the red costume as well. I think you had a thing for that one, didn't you?
I think so, yes.
I mean,
to be fair, I mean, the cosplayer, I mean, obviously, yeah, aside from the wardrobe malfunction, there were some nice little acts in there. I think you and I are still wondering where those the two guys who came up dressed up as Power Rangers. And a Super Sentai cat sort of thing. I think it was Power Rangers Turbo and Megaforce, wasn't it?
Yeah, Megaforce. We kind of called them on that one. It's like, is this sort of Ranger? No, it's not.
Yeah. But the thing is, you were saying to me, where the hell do they get the helmets from?
Because they're not the cheap sort of just face things. Which go, these were proper helmets.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I really want to know where they got those from.
Oh, yes.
Let's
face it, he doesn't want to dress up as a Power Ranger or Super Sentai.
That one. But, again, we've got a video shot of some of the best ones from that show as well. Again, it's on the site. That was a good little section, barring the props falling down and us having
fun. Yeah, it does happen with a lot of productions and things as well. So,
The only one where it didn't seem to go for it was the pair that were on the last time for the last one, where they were reenacting the scene from an anime or such, and their one actually seemed to have went okay. So, so that was good. Moving back around, Retro Collects were there. They were doing challenges through the day on retro games.
Exactly. Yes.
So that's good. So if you're a retro collector of stuff, Retro Collects are actually a good little site. To actually store your collection information online. They've got a very large A to Z database, and you could just go create yourself where all your games are.
Exactly.
Can't complain at that.
Yeah. Or you can just be like Jenny and use backloggery.
Yeah, use backloggery.
Yeah.
but that's
no, they were, of course, they were there. They had loads of challenges. So I wonder if they still went ahead with that stunt car race challenge. I would have done that.
you fancied your chances, did you?
Unfortunately, I don't think it was on. So.
Well, then we move on to what was the real star of the show, and that was the retro section. The retro section was beautiful this year.
Oh, yes. It really was. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
We'll go for the basic stuff. Pinball.
I think they had an infinite number of pinball tables. It was like... there was like 7 or 8 rows, each with about 30 pinball tables in each.
There was a lot of pinball tables, and the good thing is that especially this and especially the arcade section, they're all set to free play, so you can just walk up to, oh, I fancy go this, and you can play.
Exactly, yes.
And also alongside all those pinball tables, which were getting serviced on a regular basis, because let's put it this way, I think those pinball machines probably had the most thorough working they've had in a very long time.
Yeah.
down to that.
Exactly.
So of course they were breaking down, but lucky enough, there was actually a guy there as well who was actually fixing the pinball tables too as they went. So as they went down, he was getting out. And he was also giving talks on maintenance of pinball tables and offering a service to buy spare parts as well.
Yeah.
So you could fully maintain a pinball table. So if it's something which paid your interest, everything you needed to get yourself going was there. All you need to do is get yourself an old pinball table.
Yeah, exactly, yes. it's a shame that unfortunately we didn't get to play on any of them. So.
They were ram-packed all times.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But they certainly had quite a few of the older classics there, didn't they? The older classic pinball tables and whatnot. But I mean, there was loads, you know, loads of ones based on different films and whatnot.
TV shows.
Yeah, exactly. There's just so many of them.
And right next to that, you had the arcade as well, didn't you?
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that was the beauty.
that was a beauty. Now, this is the funny thing. I think they said in the press release, oh, we're going to have about 30 arcade machines. You're a bunch of fucking liars.
There's about 60 there.
Anything between 50 and 60 machines. And the good thing is, it wasn't just stand-ups as well. They had some larger base machines too. Some of the notable ones which stood out, especially for me and Andrew, or the one that Malk wanted was there, Midnight Resistance.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah. We both had a go at that one, didn't we, at the same time?
Yeah, I think I had a couple of goes with it as well. It was the one with the actual original cabinets of the rotary joysticks.
It was. That was the one detail Malk wanted us to actually paying attention to, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and lucky enough, yes, it did have the rotary joysticks, which is a good thing to see. So you're able to properly control your guns.
Exactly, yeah.
I had to go on Chase HQ as well. That was nice.
So did I as well.
Planet Harriers was there as well. Now, I always missed that one, and I didn't even know that one existed. And I was like, I missed out on this one, because Sega never did a Dreamcast version of it. And I'm putting to a point, it's like, why not?
Exactly. Why? Yeah. It's sort of one of those three games. In fact, do you think it can be? Can it be emulated? Or
apparently it can.
Oh.
But I don't know which emulator does it.
Problem. It's definitely not MAME. I know that.
No, MAME can't. MAME has it in the list, but it can't run it. If I remember right. But all in all, it was nice. It was a nice sort of thing. They got the premise right, but it was slow.
It took quite a lot of people there, weren't there? Actually, before we move on, there was actually one game that was one game they had there that was actually a ROM hack, and that was that was Bubble Bobble, wasn't it?
Because it was
the original arcade cabinet, but when you actually looked on the screen, on the title screen, it said Bubble Bobble Lost Caverns. So
It was. And all the level layouts were all being altered somewhat to make it that little bit more difficult.
Exactly.
And yeah, so seeing ROM hacks running on a proper arcade machine is actually quite a treat.
I mean, they didn't have the. I mean, unfortunately, it was the only Bubble Bobble machine there. You know, so if you wanted to play original Bubble Bobble, you couldn't. Well, at least not the arcade version anyway. But it was Bubble Bobble.
Yeah, that was the main thing. They had a Daytona, a single player Daytona there, if I remember rightly. They had a linked up Street Fighter 3. I spent a good time playing Salamander 2.
Oh yes, yeah.
On that one. If I didn't move away, I would have finished that game.
Oh, yeah.
I really would.
Yeah, they had Ghouls and Ghosts as well.
Yep, Ghouls and Ghosts. They had two of them actually. They had a miniature Ghouls and Ghosts one as well, didn't they?
So yeah, they had the standard one, and they had this guy doing some like little mini ones. He had a tiny little mini Star Wars arcade cabinet.
That was actually really quite tight. There was a full size one there as well, if I remember.
Yeah, but I don't think it was in service.
There was definitely a gauntlet machine. We had to go to Street Fighter EX 2. They had that there. That was a fun little thing. They had Sunset Riders, but I couldn't get near it. I would have done that to completion. I really would have done. Sunset Riders is one of the best games Konami ever made in the arcade.
Mm.
It's just the same. The home versions were keck on it. So the Mega Drive version isn't even the same game. So it's about half of it. One thing that would have pleased me out, they had a Vendetta machine there.
They did.
I think they had a Simpsons too.
Oh yes, yeah, they had Simpsons. I would have had a go on that. So
yeah, but there were many, many more there as well. There were shooters. There was just anything, but there was just such a vast collection of arcades there. It was a beauty to behold, and again, all of them on free to play.
Yes, awesome. Yes.
So just go in there, press the button, and play away.
And the arcade got
a very good response too. Before we move into this one, there was also somebody there I finally got to talk to. And that Bob Wakelin was there, the man responsible for so much awesome box art for 8-bit games and 16-bit games on the Amiga, the Spectrum, and all that thing. And it was just such an honour to sit there and have a quick chat with a guy.
Exactly, yeah. And it made me wish I got my camcorder for that now.
it does. I would have conducted a proper little talk with him. But I did actually manage to ask him a question, which I've been wanting to. And if he could see any... I said to him, if there's any game that you'd love to see redone properly, then what would it be? And he specifically pointed out Renegade. On that one, so I would love to see Bob pick up his colours again and do some new titles for this one. But he doesn't, unfortunately, anymore. So
yeah, bit sad.
It's a shame. It's a shame. He is such a great artist, but he's a great bloke to talk to. He spent the time and he talked to anybody that was there to have a word with him.
He was quite a nice guy as well.
Yeah, he was a very nice guy.
Yeah, I think you got him to sign something, didn't you?
Yes, I bought a mouse mat with the box art for the Vindicator, which was a great little game. And Bob signed it for me as well. So if you're out there, Bob, thank you very much. I'm using that mouse mat now. That's a good thing. So yes, thank you very much, Mr. Wakelin. You are a star.
Okay.
Right. Moving into the star of the show, the retro section, was quite a bit bigger than what it was last year, and was definitely, in my own opinion, the centrepiece of the show this year. Last year, it was kind of overkill by the modern-day stuff, but this year, I definitely think the old-school systems were definitely the ones on show that took the show this time. On that one. When we was moving around, we saw various 8-bit computers...
Various computers, various consoles from all generations, and there's one thing that we're a bit surprised at. Even the PC was getting a look in, wasn't it?
Yes, the PC was getting a look in because they had 8 machines running old school network Doom.
Exactly, and all the games that they're sort of like varied from like old and new and stuff. Yeah, some running there. I think there was one system running the original Samur Max.
Yeah.
Which, my eyes, is an awesome game.
that was the special LucasArts run, wasn't it? That whole run was basically dedicated to LucasArts because, sadly, as a company, they're now no longer with us.
Exactly, yeah.
But the game... And they had Monkey Island going. On the N64, they had the Pod Racer going.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent, yeah.
It is a great game, but the N64 version looks like cack.
I think if you've got the RAM expansion, you can improve, you can run it at high resolution, but it's still the same great game.
Yeah. Hmm. It's still very good, but the PC version was a lot better.
Oh yeah, anyway. I totally agree, because I had it on the Mac years ago, and that was really good. Really good, that one. So,
It's a shame that the Phantom Menace games sucked balls.
Oh.
The PC section was very nice. I say they had Doom, but it was specifically networked the original way. There was nothing like Xandrinum running in the background or anything like that. It was networked up the proper way.
Exactly.
And they were doing the same. They were doing the same with Quake 2 as well. So that was good. Going around looking at the Spectrums, the Commodores, and especially some of the Amstrads, a lot of them were modded.
Exactly. Some of them had I think one of the Spectrums had the divide in space, so you just press the button and load any game you want off the card. So.
Yep, that's always there's a very good thing to have on your system.
Mm.
Just so people would be able to see lots of games that are running it, and the good thing is that it eliminates the loading time.
Exactly. Yeah. It just goes whoosh.
They even had some classic Commodores. I mean, really go back, because they had the Commodore PET there as well, didn't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. They had the PET there as well, and the likes of the Apple II and whatnot. Yeah, quite a few of the older.
Apple II was running Mario Brothers, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And even though it was on a green screen, it looked really nice. It was a really good conversion.
Yeah.
And then moving around to some of the consoles, they had it was the Fairchild Channel F, weren't it?
Oh yes.
That had that recently programmed version of Pac-Man on it, didn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And to our surprise, it was actually a heck of a lot better than the Atari 2600 one.
It definitely was. Yeah, and the thing, it worked.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it ran well.
Yeah. It was a really good version of the game.
Yeah. Consoles like the Dreamcast and the Nintendo 64, they were wired up for four-player Mario Kart and things like that.
Oh, nice, so, yeah. Of course, yeah. I think the only console they had there, I think there was one console I was very disappointed because the controller was busted, and that's the CD32.
I say
he wanted to play that game of Alien Breed, and the controller was busted. But apparently they're notorious for breaking those CD32 pads. So, yeah.
I actually had one. actually, Steve Benway got a good one recently.
I think he did. Actually, talking of Amigas and stuff, they actually had... as well as having a lot of Amigas dotted around the retro stuff, the guys at Amy Bay were there as well. So they had an entire stall dedicated to Amiga stuff, which was nice to see.
It was, but if you wanted to see a proper history of consoles, including handhelds, they even had a run of consoles running at the back, which had light gun games on them as well, and all fully working.
That's right, yeah, and they had the proper CRT screens for them as well, didn't they? So, yeah, that's good. Oh, and that's another thing I remember. I remember seeing, I think it was as well as all the handhelds and stuff, I think there was actually a stall there whereby they were displaying like mods for the Game Boy, and so it's like And it's like they've modded the original Game Boy to have a backlit screen. And I thought, oh, that'd be awesome.
That's really good. But when just walking around the retro section, it was so good to see so many people looking at it, and especially young kids sitting down and playing basically what we had on that one.
Exactly.
Even though the games are simplistic, some of the kids are sitting there like, ah, awesome. And to give you the truth, I didn't see a disappointed face.
No, I didn't at all.
No, I didn't see a disappointed face. I didn't see anyone sit there saying, "No, this is rubbish, I'm going home."
Yeah.
I sound like Neil from the Young Ones then.
Yeah.
But that was the good thing. That was the main part of the show. And the people were out and about and just generally having a really, really good time and just exploring game console history.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but mind you, Microsoft were there as well, and putting on their show for the Xbox One. It was one person walking around with a green jacket with Xbox One written on the back.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like sitting there as I saw that. I was like, Really? Yeah. Is that the best you could do?
Exactly. I mean, Sony didn't make too much of an appearance, but I think Ubisoft did that already with Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, exactly.
4.
They look at it. They had the PS4 running with Assassin's Creed 4. Dark Souls 2 was running on the PlayStation 3 hardware. So Sony put in a good show.
Oh,
What do the Xbox fans get? They get somebody walking around with an Xbox One jacket.
Yeah. That's funny.
I'm seriously considering that person lost a bet. And had to wear it.
Oh yeah.
But it was. Why Microsoft didn't have anything to show there?
No.
Really, I've no idea. They've got stuff ready. I know they have, but that could have been something kind of question. Especially after their bluff got called when games weren't running on the Xbox hardware.
Exactly.
So. So somebody called bullshit on them, and I think that's possibly why they never had anything there, because they possibly don't want to put another problem in with that one.
Exactly, yeah. They don't want another embarrassment. Yeah.
True. Hmm. That's it. But the long side of it is, it was a very good show on the retro side. But no, the retro collection was vast. It was very good for people, and you see a lot of families and stuff just enjoy stuff. There was a lot of families there, and for anybody who turned around and sit there like, female gamers don't exist. They were there at that point, and they were in plentiful.
Exactly. Yes.
Trust me. They were there. So for all you single nerdy guys out there that don't think they these gamer women exist, you should have been there. Trust me, they were about.
Mm. Oh, yes. Yeah.
The retro side took precedence how it should be. That's what the expo was all about in the first place, and it demanded respect, and it was good.
It
was a pleasure to go around these machines, and fantastic.
Well, it's better than good. It's better than fantastic. It was amazing.
It was. Mm. And that, so if you've got an interest in old school stuff, and if you live in the UK, or if you want to fly from abroad, Play Expo, I guarantee it's going to be next year around the same time. We're going to be there again next year.
Of course, yeah.
Hopefully doing a better job at covering the place than what we did this year.
I think we've got to admit it. We tried hard, but we didn't. I don't think we did our best, did we?
I think I put it more down to inexperience.
Yeah, I think so. But for our first run, it was good, and you know, we did actually allow out some flies, didn't we, and stuff, didn't we? So
So it was good for us. It was an eye opener on how to cover the event. Like I say, if you visit our website www.rmifusion.com, then you'll see the footage we did get there, and we got a good coverage showing the machines and what was exactly everything that was at the event for your own viewing pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
But not just also for the machines as well. We also had some storeholders selling some good stuff as well.
Exactly. They had various retro sellers selling all their gear and whatnot. That was true. And even the guys at Retro Game Base made an appearance, didn't they?
Yep. You guys are awesome. For you guys who don't know, the Retro Game Base is in London, around Streatham area. They get a lot of good old school gaming stuff in. Definitely, their shop's definitely worth a look.
Oh yeah, I've been there twice now, and yeah, and I've always come out with something.
Definitely.
And of course, what they were selling there at the show was they were selling like modded consoles and stuff. So you could buy a Mega Drive that will play all regions and even have a 50-60 hertz switch on stuff.
Exactly. Mm. Yep, that was very good. They actually offer a service as well to mod consoles.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I need to get my own Mega Drive modded at some point.
Yeah, I've got two. I at least want one of them done.
Mm. Yeah.
but it's a good thing. If you're too far away to live from their shop, they do have a eBay shop as well. So check them out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was various other shops. There was a Manga UK seller who was selling manga DVDs there and Blu-rays.
That's right, yeah, and even I think there was in one store selling some import ones as well. So
yeah, that was very, very good. Yeah, there were some figure kits as well.
Exactly, yeah, there's one thing that took me off. There was a store selling Japanese cuisine as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, Japanese snack.
Oh yes, yeah. So you can buy a lot of the old bits like tofu and sushi and stuff, and yeah, it looks interesting.
Oh, definitely. Mm. you got that Tokyo Lifestyle show coming up some point next year. Mm. You interested to go there?
Maybe perhaps. I can't remember when it is, but I'll look into it.
Definitely, that'll be the next expo we go ruin.
but we've actually made some purchases, didn't we?
I picked up a box copy of Sonic and Knuckles for myself.
Yes.
I think that's all I got, wasn't it?
I think you got a box copy of Sonic and Knuckles, didn't you? I think how much did you pay for it though?
£20.
Ooh, ouch. but the store you got that from, I think that was really the only store really that was like bumped up their prices a bit.
It was, but then again, £20 for a box copy of Sonic and Knuckles, and also the guy put it in a hard protective plastic case as well, because Sonic and Knuckles came in a cardboard box these Super Nintendo games. So to get a cardboard box in, it's hard.
Yeah, exactly.
On that
But I mean, you were quite surprised at the prices, weren't you? I mean,
the prices were really good this year. I remember last year, and I saw the prices that they were putting on stuff, and it was like, you're just robbing people because of the expo.
Yeah, but this time, man, they were quite reasonable. And
Yes, they were very reasonable.
And even I managed to pick up a few games. I bought two more games from Master System. I managed to pick up Castle Revolution and Black Belt as well, which that's the Western version of
Fist of the North Star for wussies.
Yeah.
Basically.
So the thing is, they've only really changed the names, and that's it. The characters still explode when you punch them.
Oh, well, it just shows what an awesome black belt that guy is.
Oh, yeah. it's a really good game, whether you know it's Black Belt or Fist of the North Star. It's a really cool game. And I also managed to pick up, on the Mega Drive, International Sensible Soccer. Because I've got Sensible Soccer on the Mega CD, and I can't really play that because... Problem is, it's good on the Mega CD. I mean, it's Sensible Soccer. It's a good little game. But the problem is, the game saves. It takes up the entire Mega CD, and so it's like you can play that, but you can't play Sonic CD. So and the thing is, you can buy RAM cards for the Mega CD, but they cost.
But they're so expensive.
Yes, they cost an absolute bomb. So I thought, right, you're better off not playing the Mega CD one. Just get the cartridge one. It's Sensible Soccer. What more do you want? I only paid £3 for Black Belt and Sensible Soccer, and about six quid for Castle Revolution.
And they were all boxes of instructions as well, weren't they?
They certainly were.
Mm. So definitely. There was another guy who had board games on there as well, and he had the legendary Marvel card game. I so wanted that, and I didn't have enough money.
Oh.
So that was amazing. And you know what? I've been around London today looking for it. I cannot find that thing for love nor money.
Oh.
So I bought an Arkham Horror expansion instead.
Loads of the Arkham Horror and So it's not just video games, it's like Warhammer board games and stuff as well, isn't it? So.
Oh, yeah, there's some little stores, that one. And so that's pretty much the expo. It's got something for everybody there, including a bit of modern, but definitely a good bit of the old school. And we bumped into several people while we were walking around as well, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We bumped into... Andy and company from the Retro Asylum.
Yes.
so we gave them a quick handshake to see how they were doing, and then we basically just explained how we were talking to each other and how we were enjoying the expo at the time, and then we went on our ways. So that was good to see those guys again.
Oh yes, yeah.
Yep. And then we bumped into Moobit and company from the Gamer Dads.
Oh yes.
Yes. Moobit and the Fez Cam.
He was such a laugh.
he was great. Oh. He really, really was. Mm. And we spent a good amount of time hanging around with those guys, talking to them, and just generally having a laugh with them. And that was a good thing. Plus, we smacked down on a challenge to them, didn't we?
We did, didn't we? Yes.
We did. We SmackDown are challenged them, so we challenge, I myself, as the representative, challenge Moobit to find a team and bring them to a Doom death match.
Oh, yes. Yes. So,
yeah. And Moobit accepted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the, so, yeah, all my fusion against the Gamer Dads.
Gamer Dads. It's going to happen, people. We're going to take the Gamer Dads on a game. So, Moobit, if you're listening, my friend, you better find yourself a team. And at least two of those people better be the other two members of your podcast team. I want at least Poby and Joey P on your team.
Mm.
Yep. Then bring whoever else you can. Because whoever you bring, we'll bring our best as well.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll just... yes. And we'll just have a good laugh and we'll just have a good some good fun.
Yeah.
Right. That's it for this fortnight. So I hope we gave you a bit of an eye-opener about the... expo, and like I say, visit our website as well for a few videos that are on there quickly before our reviews knock them down. But yeah, we got more reviews coming on the website. I've started my look over on Kamen Rider Gaim as well. Kind of a bit disappointed with the first episode, but I've now watched episode 2 and 3 and suddenly decided, you know what, it's picking up.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched episode 3 yet, but I've seen the first two. I did also start watching Go Rigan as well, and I'm like, I might watch the first couple of episodes again, just in case. So, but I might do a cover on that as well. I really wanted to do one on Koryuja, but I thought, nah, they want to do about episode 30 on that. I thought I might just wait till that's finished and do a whole review of the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The next Sentai is based upon trains, apparently.
Oh.
Why do I get a feeling we're getting Power Rangers Deno?
Oh. Yeah.
But on the S bit, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I've still got some more previous Kamen Riders, because I've only watched a decade so far.
Okay, we'll have to sort you out with some more to watch.
Exactly, yeah.
Other Pete, go.
And hopefully, next month I'm actually... this might excite a few people, but I'm going to be, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'm going to be restarting my tiers and the adventure show. So,
nice.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be uploading all the old episodes next month, so you can watch them, all the episodes on our website. Yeah, and by Christmas, I should have at least one new one. So, and hopefully, if I can get around to it, a new episode of the adventure show, which I've been playing, I think it's Final Fantasy VII, wasn't it? Yeah. I was going to get up to the point where I lost my save.
Pratt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, basically I updated the emulator and it's like my save was
fine. Save password compatible.
Yeah. So,
Right, before we go, I want to put out a request to any people who listen to our podcast. We are currently looking to expand our team. We need some more reviewers of basically some more of the topics we cover. As a team, we cover as much as we can. We are looking for people in the following areas. For review side, we are predominantly PC gamers. We have consoles, but it's not our main form of gaming. If you are a console gamer and you fancy go at reviewing, whether you've had no experience before and you want to give it a shot, or if you've done a few reviews but you've not had very much success on YouTube or anything else like that, please send us an email. We are going to leave the our address, which you can send your information to, and a link to any sort of stuff that you've done already, if you have an interest in possibly reviewing for our site and bring some more content and hopefully some more... members to our team. We're also looking for anybody who likes anime and would be interested in reviewing anime stuff for us as well. That would also be of good help to us to help assist with our reviews as well. And anybody who is also into films too, that would be a big assist. So, like I said, this is a call out to anybody who likes to review or wants to review or wants a go at reviewing any of the subjects which I've mentioned. Please, like I say, send us an email to the address below on Podomatic, and we'll get back in contact with you, and then see if we can get you onto our site. Okay, I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Yes, indeed it is. Malcolm will be your host in the next fortnight, I believe they might be talking about Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed as their own.
Oh, yes, exactly, yeah. Fantastic game.
Fantastic game, and they will be your hosts for the next two podcasts. Me and Andrew are taking a well-deserved break, and we are going to be making more content video for the site.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
All right, join us on the site at www.rmifusion.com. I know you keep hearing me say it, but I'd really like you to come here.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you like people to come?
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yes, indeed we would. Okay, right, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye for now.